Do you ever feel lost? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Do you ever feel lost? Some of my students have been writing in that they are feeling lost. They don't know what's the matter. They don't know why they're feeling lost, but they just feel lost. They just feel empty. And, of course, this is not an unusual thing. A lot of people feel empty, and they feel empty for whatever reason. Why do you think people feel empty? People feel empty because all the world about us is a changing kaleidoscope of activities that does not remain the same for one instant. It's just click, 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 and there's no stability there. All the world has no stability there. We look at the trees and they drop their leaves. We grow out new ones. We look at the flowers in the garden. We look at each other. We look at the people as we walk down the street. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 100,000 people walking down the street, and each one different, and each one feeling a little unstable. Each one not necessarily happy. And then we come along. And we come along and we feel lost. And we are just a little fish in a big pond. And all these other fish swimming around in the pond, they don't even pay any attention to us. They don't even say, "My, you look nice today. My, what a lovely day it is. Isn't this wonderful? Would you like to share a bite of food with me? Would you like to," you know, none of this at all. You see, well, I have people invite me, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about people. I'm not talking about things that invite you to share with them. I'm talking about you being invitable. Are you invitable? Are you somebody that anybody would like to have as a partner at the dinner table, as a partner at the coffee shop, or anything like that? Or would you? Are you the kind of person that someone wants to walk down the street with you and just feels good in your presence because you find all the good there is all around? That when you walk down the street, you see the birds singing, you hear the birds singing, you see the children playing, and you see the laughter in their hearts, and you see the joy, and you see the traffic going by in an orderly fashion. You see the world in a balanced, harmonious way. Are you the kind of person who sees all that? Or are you the kind of person who sees, whoops, there's trouble there, whoops, the children's ball's running into the street, oh my goodness, problems, you know? Now, if you're the kind of person who sees the world filled with problems, then you're the kind of person who's lost. You're the kind of person who hasn't recognized that there is a divinity that profounds and confounds and delivers all. You say, profounds and confounds, what's all that about? Well, are you touched by the world about you, or do you divine the world about you? Do you look at the children playing, and do you see them playing harmoniously? Or do you see them playing at the edge of the street? Do you see them playing at the edge of problems, at the edge of trouble? Are you the kind of person that sees everything at the edge of a problem? Well, if you do, you're lost. You're lost because you're not at peace within yourself. The peace that Jesus gave to the people was not a peace that the world understood. It was a peace that came from the divinity within him. And the divinity within everyone else understood that peace. They understood what he was sharing with them. Now, do people understand what you're sharing with them? Or are you just a lost sheep? Why is it in the Bible we're told that the shepherd lost one of his sheep? And he left all the flock to look for the lost sheep. He left all the flock to look for the lost sheep. Now, why did he leave all the flock to look for the lost sheep? Because he knew the flock was in good hands. It was in flock hands. It was all together a harmonious group where they weren't worried about themselves. They were just bah, bah, bah. They were just enjoying themselves and settling down for the night and being peaceful. And there was no wolf in sheep's clothing coming into his flock. But the one that was lost, the little lamb that wandered away from the flock, he went out and found it, and he brought it in. And when he brought it in, he didn't feel, "Oh, I'm so good, I stuck in my thumb and pulled out a plum, and what a good boy am I." He didn't do that at all. He just says, "Now, find your mommy, settle down for the night." He gave them peace. He helped the lost. be found. Now, how did he help the lost to be found? In peace. He helped the lost to be found with an attitude of all is in divine order. And he said, go find your mommy. And the lost sheep went into the flock. And the whole flock says, oh, you're home. How nice, you're home. Your mommy's over there on the other side. You go. You know, they all said these nice things to her. Sheep don't talk like that. Sure they do. Sheep talk like that all the time. Because you talk like that. I saw a movie put out by Disney on Tarzan. A very excellent movie. And this movie that was put out by Tarzan, they had two sections to it. One was telling you how it was made, and the other was a movie. The movie was exceptionally beautiful. And how it was made, at one feature, the men and the women who were making the movie, they had the voices of the animals. Tarzan, his mother, and the other friends. And they said, now the animals, they talk to one another. And Tarzan learned how to talk animal talk. Now, we're merely translating that into English. So now, here they are speaking English. Now, they're speaking, Ingeborg?
Yes.
They're speaking good English. They're speaking beautiful English. They're speaking very proper English all the way. They're not slovenly about it at all. Oh, they would give out their, oh, I'm Tarzan, you know, that sort of thing. But when they spoke to each other, they articulated and spoke perfectly. They weren't lost. As the people who did the cartoon, the Disney people, they said, they spoke to each other. And Tarzan learned to speak their language. He was raised by them. He learned to speak their language. And that we can translate their language into English is not a strange thing at all. It's not a strange thing at all, because if you look at the movie's credits, you find they translated into 28 different languages. 28 different. Tarzan was speaking French. He was speaking German. He was speaking Italian. What a guy, my goodness sake. And so were all his ape buddies. Now, were they lost? No. What were they speaking? Now, be careful with your answer. What were they speaking? They were speaking ape. They were speaking the language of the apes. Someone translated it. And in the translation, they all were speaking English or French or Dutch or whatever language they happened to be speaking, and for that purpose. Now, when you show the film on Tarzan in Germany, and you have them speaking English, well, a good many of the Germans aren't going to understand it. They're going to say, well, don't you have any subtitles, or don't you have any way of us knowing what they're saying? Because every German doesn't speak English. Most do, of course, but not every German. So they'd feel lost. They'd feel lost in knowing what's going on. What's going on? They could interpolate and understand somewhat of what's going on by watching the actions and seeing the things they're doing. But to hear them speaking in beautiful Hochdeutsch, and beautiful Hochdeutsch, exactly what's going on, and with articulation. And you don't think it's strange. You don't think it's strange from word one. When the ape's mother speaks to it and says, there, there, my boy, I'm going to call you Tarzan. You know? Now, where the heck she got the word Tarzan from? Oh, what difference does it make? Not the least little bit. And you see, we are lost when we try to be too understanding of everything. When we just let go with our hearts, when we let go with our soul, when we let go with our being, all is made known to us, and all is understandable to us, and all the world is a wonderful place. And we don't feel left out. We don't feel that we've been abandoned. We don't feel that nobody cares about us. And we don't feel that we don't care about ourselves. Are you the kind of person that anyone would like to walk down the street with? Are you the kind of person that looks around and sees all of the children playing and all of the birds singing in the trees. Hey, now that's a meadowlark. Oh, that's a robin redbreast. Oh, that's a wren. Wren? Yeah, sure, they do it too. And that's a hawk, and that's a crow. How can you tell all these things? Oh, I have my bird course that I take, and I learn the calls of birds, and I understand them. I'm not lost when I look at the birds. I'm in understanding because I have chosen to be aware. Now, there maybe is our key point. When we are aware, we are never lost. When we are aware of who we are and who our world is and what's going on, we're never lost. Tarzan and the Apes was one of the most popular comic cartoons, one of the most popular books by Sir Conan Doyle that was published throughout all the history. The millions and billions of copies of that are out is utterly staggering. But there still are people who aren't aware of Tarzan. There still are people who aren't aware of bluebirds. There's still people who aren't aware of what a child is saying when he's screaming and hollering and running around and so happy, delighted with life. They don't understand. They say, that little idiot, that little ruffian, that little uncouth child. You got to be very, very far out to say something like that, because anyone remembers in their own heart when they were a child, surely, and how they would run around and love to holler and scream and love to just enjoy things, not against anything, just the lust for living, not the lost living, but the lust for living. And a child is never lost. It's just my parents who don't know where I am. I know where I am. I'm here in the police department. I'm here at the neighbor's house. I'm whatever. And you see, and when a parent, of course this is not necessarily what I recommend, but when a parent always knows where their child is, even when they don't know, and always knows that their child is in good hands, in good keeping, then that child will be. But the moment the parent starts to worry that the child is lost, starts to worry that the child is maybe in trouble, has a problem, and is looking for mom and daddy and can't find them, you know, if they're starting to worry that, then that's what happens. But when a parent can say, my child is surrounded by the pure white light of love, all is in divine order. Now, I say, okay, Junior, come home. Mary, come home. Now, how is Mary or Junior going to come home? Well, Mary or Junior is going to say, I live at 1101 Fire Valley Road in Campbell. Oh, goody, goody, goody. And immediately, they take him there. Immediately, the friends, the neighbors, the people who find the child, or the police, they bring him there. And he's not lost. When you know that that child knows that he knows, and he knows his address, he knows where he belongs, and he'll say it. Not in fear. I know where I belong. I live at 1101 Fire Valley Road, you know. I'm not lost. I'm not lost at all. I'm happy. And that's because his parents have communication with him wherever he may be, even if he is misplaced for a moment, but he's never lost, and he's always found. We sometimes get misplaced for a little while because we forget to tune in home. We forget to tune in our original purity and integrity. We forget to tune in our divinity. We forget to tune in and say, I am divine. I know where I am. I'm divine. I'm in my Father's house. All is in good hands. All is beautiful. All is fantastic. I am fantastic. And then we're never lost. But if you want to be lost, then just involve yourself in the outer world and be confused. You know, going right along with this, harmoniously and inharmoniously, both at the same time, is the Chaos University. We have always understood chaos to be confusion. And now we're finding out that chaos is the utter organization, programming. It's balance. It's harmony. Chaos is the utter balance. And who would have ever dreamed such a thing? I mean, even only a few years ago, when chaos was still confusion. Now it is the pureness of balance. And the whole university set up about it. It's amazing. Now, 10 years ago, if someone were to say, oh, there'll be a university of chaos one of these days, you watch and see. Oh, come on now, get off it. That's the wildest thing I ever heard, you know. And yet, that's the balance thing. Anything in our world is good and very good. Anything is beautiful because anything is divine. And everything is divine. And you are pure balance, and you are pure harmony, and you are pure love. And you always will be. And I think that's a wonderful way to live. No child is ever lost. The parents are lost, but not the child. Nothing in your life is ever lost. If you say it's lost, well then forget looking for it because it's not there. But if you say you misplaced it, well then you misplaced it. Just like Ingeborg, she's constantly misplacing her glasses on top of her head, you know. And we know right where they are. She doesn't know where they are. She, where are my glasses? Where? On top of your head. And we all do that. And it's the silliest thing in the world, but so near, so close, so obvious, and we forget it because we're not thinking right. But that's the way. Now, Ingeborg just felt the top of her head to find out if she had glasses up there or not right now. But that's the way we do. And we're never lost when we realize we are harmonious with, not inharmonious with, but harmonious with our divine plan. And we always know who and what we are. And we are found in our divine self. So just say to yourself, as I say to me, I like me. I like me. I like me.